Great, Will. Thank you so much. We have up next, and I'm not sure if it's MA or Ma, but if you'd go ahead and unmute yourself, we're looking forward to your question as well for Will. Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Go right ahead. We can hear you now. Thanks.
Okay. My visual's gone. But anyway, I just want to thank you too, Will, for your presence all these many years, and having read your book many, many years ago, introduced by our dear friend, late Eleanor Wilson. I just want to ask you this question, which is, I think, the cow in the room. What are you saying or being able to offer to people regarding the possible presence of a bioweapon that everyone's in fear of right now? And will veganism help us in that regard?
Yeah, well, I think, essentially all of this that we see, you're referring to the bioweapon, I guess, the pandemic and all that, is really a manifestation of animal agriculture. As it unfolds, it turns back on, it's turning, it's getting more virulent than ever. The violence, I think the real problem is the violence in animal agriculture. A lot of vegans talk about zoonotic transmission of disease transmission from animals to humans, and all of that. And I think this, I'm sure, this whole perversion of hyper-confining animals and misery and toxicity and overcrowdedness creates terrible, weird situations energetically and probably microbially as well. The microbes, but the big problem is the toxins involved, the chemicals and the toxins that animal agriculture requires, and how that goes into the environment and it goes into our bodies and makes us sick. And I think in a way that they're using a virus as a scapegoat, as saying it's a virus. I don't think it's more, it's chemical and other types of toxins. And also it's turning humanity into the livestock. I mean, I think that's what's really what's happening. When we make other animals into livestock, we do that long enough, we unfortunately become livestock ourselves. We become the ones ourselves. We lose our own freedom because we keep stealing it from others. So I think this is really getting to the point now where it's critical that we all understand this process happening and not comply with systems of violence that are being imposed on animals and on human beings. And to be a voice for animal liberation, to be a voice for human liberation, and to do the best we can to question all the official narratives. I mean, I don't believe anything that comes from the mainstream media. I mean, maybe the weather or whatever, but the underlying, I understand this. My father owned a newspaper. I was born and raised in the media. I know in my bones that basically the new, the av you cannot, my father could not run any articles that the advertisers would find objectionable. They would pull their ads, they would advertise it with somebody else, and he'd go out of business. So when the news is basically brought to us by the pharmaceutical industry, the petroleum industry, the big banking industries, the fast food industries, the science is owned by them, the media is owned by them, the government is owned by them, the narratives are owned by them. I've known this. The pharmaceutical industry is the greatest enemy that veganism has, more than the meat and dairy industries. They make their money off sick and dying animals and people. And we don't believe anything they say. Just don't believe anything they say, ever. It's the opposite. I'll just say that. Okay, time for one more, maybe.
Great. Thank you, Will. We appreciate that. And we do have one more. And I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, Kaylee or Kylie. If you go ahead and unmute yourself, we look forward to your question for Will as well. Hang on, Will. We're just waiting for the unmute button to happen. Again, Kaylee or Kylie, if you can unmute on your end. Perfect. Great. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for this wonderful, wonderful lecture, teaching. You're terrific. My question is, what do you say to people who say and who believe that vegetables have consciousness, that they have feelings too? We raise plants to kill them and eat them. And all of the experiments that were done way back at Duke University, where they showed that yogurt cultures responded in lead-clad rooms if part of it of that was in another room and had been injured, or the plants that have electronically shown that they react to when people come in who have harmed them before. What do you say to those people? And what do you say to it? What do you think about that?
Yeah, thank you. That's a good question. Yeah, I think, you know, I remember reading the book, The Secret Life of Plants, and contemplating all these things. And I think basically, maybe, you know, obviously animals have fully functioning, especially vertebrate animals, but animals have nervous systems where we really are, you know, are mobile, so we have to feel pain. And so it's clearly not good to harm animals unnecessarily. Plants don't have those capacities, at least on the physical. But even if they do, perhaps they do, you know, that they can feel, we can use our intuition on that also. The good news is, and I think I'm supposed to wrap up here. The good news is that all of us can thrive on a plant-based way of eating, and that by doing that, we cause much less harm to plants. Right. According to biologists who study this, the estimates I've seen are somewhere around 100 to 150 trees a year. A vegan saves about 100 to 150 trees every year, because the meat that we're eating, the animals and the dairy and so forth, have come from animals, and we have to cut down forests to grow the grain to feed us. So cutting down forests, destroying, you know, whole ecosystems. When we go vegan, we can minimize the amount of harm we cause to plants as well. So I think that's important to understand.
Thank you.